Is that you or me? No, that's you.
No, it's me. I have to call you back later. I'm being interviewed about the jacket, so it's very important. It's more important than you. See ya. Bye. Hi, my name is Paul Burnham. I'm an architect. I live in North Fremantle. I work for myself, and I have a small story to tell about something that I did 40 years ago. I studied architecture at the University of Western Australia. It's a long course with a small number of people. It's a very, very isolating environment, and sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's a lot of fun. One of the techniques they historically was used was to actually break you down. When you had to do a presentation in front of class and staff, was to basically humiliate you, the theory being to give you resilience to be good at it. So in some ways it worked, and in some ways it absolutely destroyed people. Because I only worked at uni, so there were really long hours, and you know there were occasional all-nighters and nights, weekends, you spent your whole time there. And because I found it difficult, my difficulty was making myself go to uni every day. So that's partly why I started dressing up, to give myself a reason to go every day. At the time, I had a bit of a history of collecting odd clothes and a little bit of a history of dressing up strangely. And the surprising thing was, the more I did it, the more it actually caught on with other people, and it eventually became a competition in the campus, a dress-up competition amongst students, which was judged at lunchtime by the staff. The ones I recall, I dressed up as a priest, as a cowboy, as a bumblebee, as a clown, and I even wore a dress all day. So I became shameless, which was actually a very good tool for being an architect. The more you can throw away different expectations and perceptions of things, the more you can explore other ways of doing things. I wanted to create the worst, ugliest, loudest possible jacket that I could. This is 1982. I probably should have been studying my final year of architecture a bit more than I was. And I wanted to evoke something that was, that reflected a bit of both self-mockery of myself and my perception of the Australian identity. And I'm very aware of flag-waving and nationalism is a thing that can be skewed in different directions. And while self-appreciation is a good thing, an equal amount of self-depreciation and self-mockery in hopefully a humorous way is also a healthy thing. So I wanted some sort of referenced Australian imagery in a loud and colourful and ugly way. So I spent a lot of time searching for the most appropriate thing I could. Again, I probably should have been studying. Eventually, in a silk screening business in Cambridge Street, Wembley, I came across a pattern, which was the word Australia and then the flag in the shape of a map of Australia at the end of it. It was actually a tea towel pattern. I approached the owner of the store and explained what I wanted to do. He was very happy to oblige. And my objective at the time was to actually have a whole suit made. Basically, I wanted the worst suit in history. Because it was a tea towel pattern, the size was limited, which meant you couldn't do full trousers without a join. So I decided to just do a jacket. So I, with the help of my sister, went and found out how much material to buy, what sort of material to buy, bought the material, took it to the silk screeners. He printed up all the panels for me, and I was ready to get my jacket made. This was my private joke. My father had a friend who was a pilot and lived in Malaysia. We went up to Malaysia and stayed at his place in Kuala Lumpur. And 1982, my father had a shiny blue suit made, and I had my new Australian material all printed. And we went to the tailor, and his name was Arlock Taylor, and it was Jalan Yapar Shack in Kuala Lumpur. A very small little tailor, a very courteous and polite man. And he, you know, he obviously thought he had a bit of an idiot on his hands. At the time, I didn't want to embarrass him. I'd would he actually do it for me? And I didn't want to humiliate him in any way. So I was very circumspect with him at the time. And the jacket has his emblem on it in the inside lining. So yeah, there's another layer of irony in the jacket. Bob Hawke was a big figure at the time. He was a popular union leader and, of course, Rhodes Scholar and, you know, beer-drinking record. So he had the archetypal and the non-archetypal Australian characters all in one, and he played on it. During 1983, his popularity was immense. When the America's Cup happened, the final race was held, and it was a big night at the Royal Perth Yacht Club. Now, I'm not a member of the Royal Perth Yacht Club. A good friend, Mark Walker, is a member of the Royal Perth Yacht Club, and he very kindly asked me along to watch the last race, which was held all during the night. Of course, there was only one thing that I was going to wear, and that was my Australia jacket. So, and it was a really big night. There were lots of people there. It was very exciting. It was the invitation of the year in Perth. There was huge expectation. And the consequences, everyone understood that the consequences of winning would actually be hugely significant for Perth, and it was. There were lots of small early 1980s televisions around. There were certainly no big screen displays of it. So there was two sides to it. There was the party side, the be seen party side, and there was the actual sailing appreciation side to it. And I was in both sides of that. During the night, the Australian yacht was behind for most of the race, except up to the very last turn, the very last buoy. A lot of people left, including Mark. He went home because he had work the next day. I was 23. The bar was open. I was dressed like an idiot and I was enjoying myself immensely. I was going nowhere. So I stayed on. What a lot of people don't understand is that a lot of the crowd went home and thinned out. There weren't that many people there towards the end of the race. As it became obvious that Australia was going to be in front and was most likely going to win the America's Cup, the Royal Perth Yacht Club just absolutely filled with hundreds and hundreds of people and just became a monstrous party. Eventually Australia crossed the line and won the America's Cup. Just backtracking a bit. So during the night, when I was wearing my Australia jacket, there was a media room on the far side of the club. Everything at the club happened on the first floor. It was a big bar and function space. And there was a small room dedicated to the media throughout the night. The chap who was the Royal Perth Yacht Club official who was giving commentary during the night was dressed in his Royal Perth Yacht Club blazer and representing the club in clearly the most significant moment in the history of the Royal Perth Yacht Club. There came a time when I was looking at him, looking at the interviews happening, and he looked at me, and we were in different rooms looking through a window at each other, and we instantly knew what we should do. We'd made very small gestures to each other, and we decided we were going to swap jackets. So I went into a side door of the media room and I swapped jackets with him. And so he wore my Australia jacket for much of the night while he was being interviewed periodically in the media room. And I, at the age of 23 and enjoying many beers throughout the night, was dressed as an official from the Royal Perth Yacht Club in an official blazer. So it was good. It was very good. Another aspect of the night that really sticks in my memory is the Men at Work song, A Land Down Under, was just nonstop the whole night. Every time I hear it now, it just brings me back to that night. As the night progressed, I gave him his blazer back and I wore my Australia jacket. It was known at the time that Bob Hawke was in Perth, and people started talking about Bob Hawke's probably going to turn up. And of course he did turn up. So he turned up at the entry to the club, came up the stairs with an entourage, and there was a massive crush around him. And the crush of Bob Hawke and his little entourage moved across the main function space to the media room. And again, there's a mad crush around the media room. And no one could hear a thing. It was lots of shouting, lots of noise, lots of singing and so on. So Bob Hawke was being interviewed in the media room. Australia just won the America's Cup. Bob Hawke had, you know, been Prime Minister for a few months, and he was making the most of it. Because I had previously been in the media room from the side door, I just sauntered around to the side door and let myself in. And I thought, this is great. Look at me, here I am, and there's the Prime Minister. Australia's just won the America's Cup. I'm wearing a very silly jacket. So I was, by my measure, it was a good night so far. So standing in the media room, the Royal Perth Yacht Club official, whose name I never knew, who was standing closer to Bob Hawke than I was, and again, the unspoken little gestures, we again knew what we had to do. So I took my jacket off, passed it to someone, who passed it to someone, who passed it to Royal Perth Yacht Club official, who then passed it along, and it was passed to Bob Hawke. He didn't know anything about it. He put it on over his suit jacket, so he's smaller than me. And was interviewed. And so I was 5-6 metres away from him when he was being interviewed. I could just see him in my jacket. I couldn't hear a thing. There were TV lights on, but I was wrapped. There was, you know, there's the Prime Minister, and I've dressed him for the night. So Bob Hawke packed up and left by a different door, and there weren't many people around, and he had a security guard with my jacket over his arm. So as Bob Hawke walked past, I took the opportunity to shake his hand, and I asked the security guard if I could have my jacket back, and he said no. So that was fine with me. My jacket had done its little job, and I was wrapped. My silly jacket had been beamed around Australia on the Prime Minister. That was enough. It was good. At the time, I wasn't too concerned about what was going to happen with my jacket. However, my mother, Doris, was very concerned and made sure that she did everything right. She actually contacted the Premier's department and insisted that my jacket be returned to me, and it was. So thank you, Doris, and I got my jacket back a few days later. So my odd, strange jacket, which is often seen as some sort of symbol of celebration of the Australian identity, but it is an ironic commentary on excessive Australian nationalism. And so at the age of 63 now, 40 years after the night in September in 1983, as I reflect on my career in architecture, the most significant thing that I've designed appears to be a stupid jacket that I had made when I was a student, which is now on display in a museum. When the jacket became publicly noticed, I had a photo of Bob Hawke in the jacket, and I sent it to Mr. Harlock, and we used to exchange Christmas cards. So he put it on display, and I said, look, you know, this doesn't mean a lot to you, but any Australian who comes into your shop, they will understand. So he used to send me Christmas cards. Harlock Taylor, there you go.
Oh.
He's still there. Jalan Yaparshak. There you go. I wonder, wait a minute.
Is that the photo?
It could be. Yeah, I'm sure it is. There you go. Oh, he's really, really old now. There you go, Harlock. Wow, there you go. Huh, that's news to me.
That's pretty cool, right?
There he is, Harlock. Huh, so it was had some relevance to him as well. Interesting, isn't it?